Hello and welcome. This is Not the Suburbs Podcast. I'm Geraldine Witchers and I'm here with...
Aiden Chloe.
Aislinn Hicks.
And it's me, Jeremy Morantz.
That is right. Today we're going to be telling commuting stories, transit stories. We're probably going to get a little riled up. We'll see.
There's some passionate people on this panel regarding
I have opinions.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So we're going to get into Aiden's put together a little bit of a two-minute Nat sound piece for us. But before that, why don't we all just go around and talk about our relationship with downtown commuting slash transit?
Well, I don't use transit. I commute from Steinbeck in a small red car whose name is Strawberry. And
nice.
It takes me about an hour and 10 minutes. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I have stories about it, I guess, but it's just not going to be quite the same as everyone else's.
Well, talk about like your commuting experience in general. It doesn't necessarily have to be Winnipeg transit related.
Let's talk Winnipeg drivers. How awful are they?
I mean, I take personal offense to that.
No, they're really mean.
No, they're pretty bad.
As a self-identified Winnipeg driver, I take offense to that.
From what I hear, Steinbeck drivers are worse, but I can't really... Because I am the Steinbeck driver, I can't really testify to that fact.
They're too nice. That's the thing. Like,
as a person that doesn't drive, I know that like other cities and like tourists are like, y'all don't know how to zipper properly.
No, that's true.
Right. Apparently, that's a huge thing. Apparently, Winnipeggers just don't zipper.
Yeah,
which is like a weird thing about this city.
Am I gonna sound dumb if I ask what you mean by that?
Zipper merging. It's like.
It's like the way it's supposed to go is like one person from the left goes and then they let the right go and then they have like a zipper. Like,
oh, you know how, a zipper works?
But like it's a free for all and like there's little to no remorse in Winnipeg when it comes to that. Like,
no.
In terms of driver etiquette,
my problem there is I'm none. Too nice. I let people in all the time.
Also, have you noticed a thing where Winnipeg drivers, I mean, this isn't me, but a lot of Winnipeg drivers don't signal, like, in general at all.
Yeah.
Did you hear about that story from, it was a couple weeks ago, that dude had punched out that old guy at the Centennial Concert Hall?
Huh? Same.
Wait, what?
So, like, 4 weeks ago, I think it was, like, a early 20s or late 20s guy was mad about some old fellow swapping seats with his wife at the Centennial Concert Hall, like, really late. After some show, and he just like some sort, like his fuses must have just like gone switched that day, but he was just livid, and so he punched this dude out and then immediately got arrested for it. So it just goes to show, you know, like Winnipeg, good times.
So, Geraldine, you drive into the city every day for school.
Have you punched anyone out,
Geraldine? That was my follow up. Yeah, that was my question.
Not. As a result of driving.
Oh.
I'm intrigued. You can't not tell the
story. I've never punched someone out. No. I mean, the only punching I've ever done is in the context of a kickboxing class.
Okay. Nice.
Otherwise, I sort of self-identify as a pacifist and not the kind
pass
of...
Pass your fist.
Not the kind of pacifist where the left fist passed the right fist.
Geraldine drives. I also, albeit not from outside of the city, but I do drive from the suburbs, which is a word that shall not be used on this podcast. Now, Aiden and Aislinn, I understand that you both take Winnipeg public transit to get to school downtown every day and back home too, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
So Aiden's produced a little bit of a short little delicious little snippet for us of his experience.
A little taster's menu, if you will, of the transit system.
Do you want to lead that in for us, Aiden?
Sure, yeah. So here is going to be a snappy little clip of what sounds like my daily commute.
And
let's check it out.
Concert
riveting listen.
That was amazing.
So Winnipeg Transit. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Do either of you, Aiden or Aislinn, have any ridiculous Winnipeg Transit stories? Because you know, like, Winnipeg Transit, it can be a funny place from what I've heard.
Okay, we only have an hour, but so many things happen. Oh, geez. I feel like...
I think I once had someone ask me late at night on my way home from an event... They had asked me if I was cool with them smoking on the bus, like a cigarette or something like that. And I was like,
And you're like, it's not up to me.
Yeah, like, it's definitely not up to me. But also, like, he was like, you smoke, right? I was like, at the time I had started smoking a bit, but I was like, you know, this is just really weird.
That is weird.
I'm going to say no. And he's like, thanks, I respect that. I won't do it then. And I was like, okay.
I mean, it was nice that he asked.
Yeah,
that's actually very polite.
Yeah,
nice guy. Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Aislinn, you were mentioning before we started recording that you were once taking the bus and you saw a guy doing pull-ups.
Yes. Okay.
What? Like, how does this? What are the?
This was just last week.
What are the logistics of this? Where is he doing these?
Multitasking.
Okay, he had gotten on the bus, but like as we pulled up, I saw him taking like a full-on selfie outside, and I'm just like, okay, here.
One of these guys.
And then he gets on. He man spreads. I'm sorry, I said it. He man spreaded. He took up two seats. And then as he's getting off, he's like waiting for the bus driver to get to a stop, and he's up at the front, starts doing pull-ups on one of the bars. And I was just like, this is happening. This is real.
Was he doing like the grunt with the workout too?
I had headphones in. I couldn't tell you, but.
Was it a crowded bus?
Like, he did two of them. Like, he wasn't really committed. He just did two.
So he just wanted to show off.
Yes.
He was just flexing.
But like, how many people was he showing off for?
I don't know. There was like an old lady at the front. I don't know if that was his target. If that was his target.
What a strong young man. What a strapping young man.
He can carry her.
Wow.
Ew. No.
Far be it from me to criticize his preferences.
It was just the weirdest thing.
There's no kink shaming on this podcast.
There should be, okay? But it was just weird, and things like that happen all the time. A while ago, this guy, I got on the bus, and all of a sudden I look over, there's a guy straight up just drinking beers on the bus, but he had like it buried in his glove, like a beer cozy. And I was like, well, that's productive. And then I was like, but like, obviously you're drinking beer, we can all see it, like, why are you trying? And then I saw like the Winnipeg Transit security person. So every time the Winnipeg like transit person would look over, he'd like tuck his beer into his mitt, and then every time they looked away, he'd pop it back up and start chugging.
Okay, for those of us who are not initiated, is it like illegal to drink a beer on the bus?
Well, that's public drinking.
That's
like,
for sure, yeah. Not allowed.
It's not allowed.
Yeah.
People kind of just do what they want.
My question
though.
Is, how desperate was this guy to have a beer? Like,
I don't
just
know.
Wait.
I'm like, you can't.
Was it at
wait?
The beginning of the day or the end?
It was like coming home from school, so okay, like well, mid afternoon.
It's quite understandable that I feel like I cannot possibly drive home to Steinbeck without a coffee. So maybe he feels the same way about beer. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe he can't get on the bus without having a beer.
Like it's almost every day that I drive.
Crushing a cold one with the boys.
I drive drinking something. Coffee, mostly.
How do you guys feel about etiquette to bus drivers? Like, do you give them a good morning and a good afternoon? Are you friendly to them?
Yes. Always take out your headphones and thank them and, like, say thank you. I just get so mad when people don't, like,
I feel like they're so underappreciated, saints. Right? Like,
I could not deal with half the crap they do.
Like, they put up with so much nonsense.
Just the other day, I was on the bus, and this lady wouldn't show her card. She just sat down, and he, like, stopped, and he's like, you have to show your, like, bus pass, and she just wouldn't move. Yeah. And he spent, like, 2 minutes trying to talk her into showing her bus pass, and she wouldn't. He just had to keep going.
Yeah.
People are so rude to them.
Nothing. I have nothing but the most admiration and respect for our...
And then, okay, other etiquette problem. People don't prepare themselves to leave, and then they take issue when, like, their stop is missed.
Yes.
Oh, and then they get mad. Hey.
What the heck? Back door! I have to get off! Sorry, that was really loud.
It's okay.
The backdoor yellers are the worst kind of people.
Yeah.
I will not make like rash assumptions on people's lives, but people who yell backdoor are the bane of my existence.
And also, fun fact, that's not how those doors work.
Yeah, you were going off about this.
The driver does not have any control over
how
that back door works.
Okay, as an
the strip is how you work it. You wait for the green light. That's how you're supposed to signal, like, okay, you can get off here.
Back door.
Okay.
Back door.
I don't ride the bus. You have to have to explain this
when
to me.
When people can't get the back door to open quickly enough, well, they press the strip, and then it doesn't open because they haven't come to a complete stop or something.
There's you also have to hold it for 2 seconds.
Okay,
but people hold it. But people push it and hold it.
Gerilyn still doesn't understand the logistics. So
you have to strip.
No. Listen to me,
we're
Gerilyn.
A classy place. Stay classy. On
the bus, there are two sets of doors. There's one at the front by the driver and one sort of towards the back middle-ish area.
Okay.
The one towards the back middle-ish area is the one a lot of people like to use while exiting because they don't have to walk all the way to the front of the bus. This is coming from someone who's taken the bus like 7 times.
And also the bus etiquette posters usually tell you to go use the back door.
Okay, there you go, too. So, but what a lot of people don't seem to realize is that the bus driver doesn't have control over that back exit door, so people start to freak out when they're at their stop and the door isn't opening. But you control the door!
That sounds like something I would totally do.
You control the door.
Ah! I can't get out! I'm strapped! I'm stuck on the bus for the rest of my life!
Because they hold it and then they're like, okay, well, nothing's happening. Just let go, breathe for 2 seconds. And try again.
Also, God forbid you have to get off at the next stop and walk a block back.
I mean, like, certain routes have, like, further distances between them.
Also, it's really cold out.
If you're planning your day or you have your plan to go somewhere, make it easy on yourself and, like, stand up and wait at the stop before.
Like, at least one to two stops.
Every time I get off, I always get off the stop before mine, the stop before mine, and stand by that door, because then I'm not rushing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and also, can I talk about the sardine issue?
The what?
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Because, okay.
There's
so
fish on the bus.
There's the certain fish. Etiquette level in terms of, like, when you get squished.
Oh,
I hate
yes.
it, because some people have, like, this weird fear of the back of the bus. And there should be. That's usually my favorite place to go.
That's where I sit.
Is all the way to the back. But, like, if it gets really crowded, everyone waits at the start of those stairs and then doesn't go any further.
Go with the
any
flow
further.
Type of person.
And then, but there are things that you should just do.
How do you feel about, I mean, I know how you're going to feel about this, but let's talk about, like, when an elderly person or a pregnant person walks on the bus and, you know, those front seats that are reserved for those. It's like an unspoken rule that those front seats are definitely reserved for those people.
Yeah.
And then, like, a 23-year-old guy doesn't want to get up and move to the back, you know?
My dude.
I've seen that
he's
happen.
He's tired and it was leg day and he can't move for the pregnant person.
Yeah. the worst is, like, moms with, like, kids in tow and people won't move for them and they have to have their kid, like, hold on for dear life. Little Johnny's going to go flying to the back of the bus, but no, you keep your seat.
Yeah.
That makes me mad.
Yeah, no, it's not. They have to hold, like, the little rabbit ears.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, just, like, there are some rough people. Like, in my limited experience, I've witnessed catcalling on the bus.
Yeah.
And it's like, come on. You know, this is transit.
This is going to get a little weird, but just the other week I had a guy, like, adjust his situation right next to me in his seat. Huh. And it's just like, wow, you couldn't wait, like, till you were in private to do that. Like, no, he undid his, like...
What?
Yes, he untied... he had, like, sweatpants on. He untied
them.
That's
so illegal.
And put his hand in his pants and adjusted his junk.
That's so
right
gross.
In front of me. And I just...
So many things wrong with this.
I couldn't. Sometimes I'm like, wow, public transit is great. You get to meet people from all different walks of life. It's a really cool system. And then sometimes I'm like, wow, I
just...
never want to go on this bus again.
Holy what?
It was
nasty.
So yeah, there's some real class acts out there.
Mm-hmm. Though one thing you do not have to deal with is the possibility of locking your keys in the vehicle.
Has that ever happened to you?
Not too long ago, actually.
Really?
2 or 3 weeks back, I missed my the first class of the day because I was at a gas station.
Oh, yeah.
Waiting for CAA.
How does that happen?
Well.
Like, walk me through how one locks their keys in their car.
You know, there's this story about Albert Einstein having to, like, write his address on a piece of paper and pin it to himself because he'd forget where he lived. Well, I am such a genius that I do not have time to think about such trivial matters. And so... Yeah.
But, like, what I'm asking is, like, explain, like how does your car lock with the key still in it? That's what I'm asking.
Well, you know...
Because don't you need your key to lock the car?
Being not exceptionally bougie, I have this one of these really old cars that has a manual lock. Oh. And how that works is that you lock it from the inside and then you get out.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so I wasn't sure if that was your situation. Yes. Yeah.
So that's what happened.
That's terrible.
And also, another thing you probably, maybe you don't have to worry about is your bus going into the ditch.
Well, I don't
know. Not often. No.
I've seen pictures.
I've heard of buses like sliding into intersections and hitting people and such.
Mm-hmm. That's my biggest fear.
Yeah, no, that hasn't happened
yet. But, you know, you probably are not going to have your bus take a flying leap into the bottom of a ditch and almost roll on its way down. And so, therefore, you missed your first half hour of class.
In terms of convenience for our busing friends on the panel, in terms of convenience coming downtown on the bus, where does it lie? Is it fairly convenient? Is it fairly inconvenient? Somewhere in the middle?
I'd say downtown is probably one of the more easily accessible transportation areas.
Like there are so many,
there's so many different routes that you can end up taking that'll get you at least within walking distance of where you need to go. Like during the weekdays, schedules are pretty well spread out. I think generally like the weekends can be tough, as like transit in general is during the weekends.
Right.
Especially Sunday. Oh my God.
Dreaded Sunday.
Dreaded Sunday bus schedule, man. It's bad. I had to retake the photo for RJ assignment and bus down to Piazza Donardi.
That's far for you too, huh?
Yeah, I know. I had to wake up early and everything was a plan. And it was cold out. I think I had to walk like 15 minutes that day to get to Piazza.
No, do you guys use U-Pass?
No.
I use Paygo.
Is U-Pass available for Red River?
Not this year. I think they implemented it.
Apparently there's like a black market for U-Passes.
I want to read that article.
I have a friend who doesn't use hers, and she's like, I probably could sell mine. And I'm like, yeah. You could. You could sell it to me. but I already bought mine, so I didn't.
Yeah, I don't know if they changed things, but I heard at the U of W, it was really, really easy to just snag it. Like, as long as you, like, signed up for, like, a class or two, you could get your Paygo. And then you could just, like, get the cheap, like, bring an extra Paygo. It's like, oh, this is for my classmate. He's in class right now or something like that.
So is the next episode of this podcast an investigative deep dive into the black market of U-Passes?
Yeah, maybe. To do this whole piece, I'm switching schools.
We got to go undercover as U of M students.
I could probably fit in at the UW. Maybe.
Yeah, totally. You totally could. I spent 2 years there, and I think you could totally fit in there.
Why? Is it, like, generally typically an entirely different breed of people that go to the U of W? Well, like, why are you saying that Aiden could fit in there, but like...
He's just got the vibe.
The vibe.
What is the vibe?
It's a distinct vibe, you know, like of woke millennials like Aiden.
Woke. Oh, they're even woker over there, are they?
They're very woke. They're very incredibly woke, actually.
That sounds incredibly obnoxious.
You said it, not me.
Does Red River want a U of W beef right now?
True.
They're too woke.
They're annoying.
Speaking of like school beefs, U of W and U of M have real beef.
Yeah,
like,
I can see that.
Like,
little gang mentality right there.
Oh, totally. And like U of M students, I like to compare U of M students to Americans as to how they feel about U of W students. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, they're like, where even is U of W? Is it
just, I could see, like, a lot of U of W students seeing, like, Asper students as, like, all, like, Trump supporters, like, right-wing.
I see where you're coming from.
Capitalists.
Capitalist pigs!
Oh, God.
Don't worry, we'll all work for them later.
Is U of W just a part of U of M?
Probably. I have to look into the logistics of that.
Cool. Asper. Yeah. Well, this is not about downtown transit anymore.
Did you hear that story about the guy who tried to auto-reload his Paygo and it auto-reloaded until it maxed out his credit card?
It was like $7,000 or something like that.
Well, I think it was more. It was a lot.
When did this happen? Who did this
like
happen
last,
to?
Like last week, I think?
Yeah.
They're poor. Was it a news story?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Poor soul.
Yeah, tragic. It didn't happen to me to that extent, but what ended up happening was I didn't get to see the payment, but I didn't last first semester. This year, I wasn't connected to, like, the Red River student, like, Paygo thing. Like, I didn't go to the Mercantile to do it there. I had, like, the cheaper student bus pass just like as a whole. And so like I was just like paying for my Pego thing online for the longest time, which they don't recommend, but I never had a problem with it until October, November, where it was like I paid for it, but I kept getting declined at the bus stop, like whenever I tried to scan it. And so like I went to like the Mercantile and I went like online, I went like all over Winnipeg to figure out what the problem was. And then when I went to the Millennium Library, I was told that they had put me on for like, in October, they put me for like 7 Septembers on the online thing. Instead of giving me the November bus pass,
7 Septembers.
It was like 7 Septembers.
7 September sounds like the name of your album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of bus
the sound
rides.
Of September.
It's an entire
the poor guy
album
who had
about
like, what,
transit.
$7,000 to put on his power card. That's a lot of bus rides.
Yeah. And then the thing was apparently like, that they
is like, that enough bus rides for your entire life?
Maybe.
And
it also, so. Like, apparently, okay, so it came off, I don't know what it is, like, $50 or whatever, in $50 or whatever it was, payments, yeah. And then they refunded him in the same way.
No.
So it's like, whatever it was.
So he's just getting a part-time job now.
Like, $12,000 or whatever, payments in $50 increments. And so he's like, my credit card is maxed out, I need my credit card, man. And then I was just like, here's $50. Here's another $50. Here's another $50.
How many hours of your life do you think you spend sitting on a Winnipeg Transit bus?
Too many.
At the end of your life, and let's say you're on your deathbed, you're looking back and calculating how many hours you spent sitting on a bus. Like several thousand?
Yeah.
Wow. That's a lot of time spent on a Winnipeg Transit bus.
I mean, I spend 2.5 hours a day in my car. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, it's your car, you
yeah,
know, like
it's a car.
It's my car, yeah.
And also, you can sing in your car. Every time I try to sing on public transit, someone shuts me down.
That's
one of those,
true, I
you
do
know,
sing in my
those
car.
Those bus etiquette, like, cartoons they have on the bus, isn't one of them, like, don't sing? Or don't play your music too loud, I think, is one of them.
Do we want to open that can?
Pardon me?
Do we want to open up that can?
Singing on public transit?
No, the- like, people that don't use their headphones.
Oh, my God.
Of course we should open up that can.
Okay, no, that's the worst. That is by far
Does
the
really
worst
happen?
Complaint. It happens all the time.
Just playing their music out loud on the bus?
Yes, or people
it's
playing
like
a game on their phone and you can hear it. Oh, that makes me so... Or
Pokemon
people
Go.
Who are on the phone on the bus and are having private conversations in public places.
I heard like an old man in a wheelchair yell that he was going to have someone arrested if they called again yesterday. He's like, if you call again... I'll have you arrested. And I was like, oh, damn. But yeah, no. It's usually like the same type of character that has the whole no headphone situation. It's always like,
entitled.
I love gangster rap, but it's always very aggressive.
Especially
loud gangster
rap. If you just walk on the bus and you just faintly hear gangster rap coming from someone.
I mean, like, I'm moving. I'm vibing.
But is everyone else?
I don't understand why they would listen to that, because I like to listen to my music quite loud. Like, if it was quiet, I can't stand it. Like, it drives me nuts to have it obscured by other noise around me.
Yeah.
So I would have to listen to it by headphones, because it just wouldn't be loud enough otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Well, what else do we... How about this? Transit costs.
Gross.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Just the
word. I understand, but I also hate it.
The two words transit cost. Because
the main issue was this year, they boosted it by like 25 cents or something like that. And it's usually 5 to 10 cents
a year.
Generally, a year.
Yeah.
But for some odd reason, there was this like massive boost. And we already like, they saved all these bus routes that they were planning on cutting out, which is weird because some of them are also like really great bus routes. And they were planning on cutting these for some reason.
Well, there was a funding issue between the province and the city that like we don't have to get into. But basically, it caused a big scare in terms of, like, how do we have enough money to run this system?
Right.
And, like, the answer is, like, there's no money.
Yeah.
So they just, like, it's not a great decision to have to make, but you got to, like, you have to make these decisions.
Yeah.
When it comes to, like, I know you don't, like, none of us love it, but it's, like, the reality of the situation, and, like, money is money, and services cost money.
Yeah.
So instead, they bumped up parking prices, which are already astronomical.
Oh, geez. That's the whole reason I don't drive to school. I will not pay parking.
Mm-hmm. Someone in our class was saying that if you just don't pay for parking, but pay the occasional parking ticket you get, it equals out to
that
argument has been made. That's for sure. And I mean, it's because I have to drive in. I pay $145 a month in parking. So I imagine, assuming you only got caught once a month.
Yeah.
I imagine that it would even out, yeah.
But that 145, like, to correct me if I'm totally off here, but does it start, is it even close to equaling what you'd be paying for transit every day?
If I were to pay the daily fee to go to school and to go back to school, like, I think I would be easily paying, like, triple what I use for the monthly pass.
Right.
Yeah.
The monthly pass definitely makes it cheaper.
It would be like,
I bought the semester pass and it saved me a lot of money.
Yeah. Because for me, if it's just the monthly pass, especially with this 28 day in February, like it's only like $68 to $70 or something like that. And if without that, I probably would be at this point already past like $20-$30 maybe.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Just because, like, I use the bus for, like, everything generally. Like,
yeah, not even just getting to school.
If I'm going to work, it's the bus. Or just because, like, driving kind of it's really, like, anxious and intimidating.
Do you have a license?
Back when I was, like, 16, I went through, like, the school, like, driver's ed course.
Yeah.
So I have, like, the beginner's license that I did that you do with the online test. So I have that, but I never went and took the road test.
Right.
So I still have to do that at some point. At some point, I'm going to be brave enough to do it and get that point because I do.
That means technically drive, but there just have to be someone in the passenger seat, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, you have to have someone with their actual license and that they've had it for X amount of years.
Yeah.
A bunch of little technical things, but.
Living in the city is not the best place to learn how to drive either. It's nice to
learn. I think it's good. I mean,
I wish I learned in the city because I would have a lot less driving anxiety if I had.
Well, that's my thing. If you're learning how to drive in like the most stressful conditions, then you're good to go. You know, it'll be crappy while you're learning, but then you're fully prepared for the worst.
That's true. Yeah.
One of the first times I had ever driven with my dad shortly after I did the driver's ed course, I got really like. I don't know how it happened, but I got really stressed out, and I drove into, like, you know that, like, mini-U thing at the mini-U bit where the transit buses go at Polo at St. Patel?
Yeah.
I drove into that.
I've done that at Kildonan Place, I'm pretty sure.
I was like, I'm not supposed to be here.
there's a benefit to transit is you completely avoid the risk of getting into car accidents.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can only get into bus accidents.
Bus accidents, like they're built like to last. Hey, how you doing?
Who's here?
I don't know.
Someone.
I heard like.
Oh, hey Dan. Yeah, we're recording our podcast. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I looked like you guys were looking at each other.
No. We're having an intense conversation about transit.
Thanks, Dan.
Bye. Thanks for coming.
I think we'll leave that in.
Let's keep that in.
So when Dan's listening to this, he'll be like, hey, there's when I walked in.
I learned how to drive in a smaller town. And then oddly enough, I really learned how to drive after I had my license and I got let out on my own. As an 18-year-old kid, I had to drive a job driving a delivery vehicle.
What? Nice.
And so they're like, do you have your driver's license? Oh, yeah, I have my driver's license. And they didn't ask any more questions than they probably should have. It's like, here's this cargo van. Drive it for us, will you?
Because you have to have, like, your class, whatever, G or whatever it is. What, there's a certain class to drive, like, the trucks? Or
a class one? Not for a cargo van, no, not in this case.
Okay.
Especially because it doesn't have any air brakes or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, driving in a small town is so different. Like, we have, like, all these like places that we stop and like it's technically your right of way, but you do that weird wave thing with your neighbor and you're like, no, you go, and then the other person's like, no, you go. Like, it's like,
oh, I have nice. No patience
and
for
I
that.
Still do that here in the city. I'm like, no, you go, and the person's like, fine, I'll go. Yeah. And I'm like, no, they were supposed, that's the part where they're supposed to say,
and then
no,
they
you
flip
go.
You off.
Yeah, they're like,
what are you waiting for? I did that today, actually. Well, I didn't flip them off, it was just like, well, fine, I'll go then.
Oh man.
Well, anyways, maybe we should move on to our news, shall we?
Sure, okay.
Cool.
I read in the Winnipeg Free Press this morning that a showcase of French masters will open in June at the Winnipeg Art Gallery. There's going to be two exhibitions, 100 paintings and sculptures ranging from 1850 to 1950. People like Monet, Renoir, I cannot pronounce French names.
Little Monet.
Matisse, French Impressionists. Caleb, let me just read this lead here so you can get a feel for what you're going to
say.
Jalen,
could you do it in a French accent, please?
Please.
Yes. I would love
I can't
that.
Do, the only accent that I can do is a Russian accent.
Okay, do it.
No.
I'm sorry, I put you on the spot.
Someone else can do
cool
it.
That wasn't cool, that really wasn't cool yeah. of you.
Imagine sitting on the banks of a river on a seashore in France, watching a boat pass by.
Who wrote this, Kenton?
Or just viewing the trees, flowers, and other lush vegetation. It is quite an impression. It certainly was for some of France's greatest artists during the 19th and 20th centuries. And it's also the kind of impression the Winnipeg Art Gallery is hoping visitors will get in June when it hosts two exhibitions of paintings, sculptures, and drawings.
Damn.
From Sounds some lovely. Of the greatest impressionists of that era. Well, that lead certainly leaves an impression.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
I want to go to that, actually.
Well, you see, the thing is, I'm not sure if I would know an impressionist if they hit me in the face and left an impression in my face.
Hey.
Oh my god. Every time something's funny said, you just have to do that.
But it sounds like quite a prestigious exhibit. Some of these are going to be, the paintings are going to be on loan from the Brooklyn Museum. Some of them will be from the Ottawa National Gallery of Canada.
So that's some good stuff. Wow.
I remember one time they had a Van Gogh exhibit going on, and we actually got some pretty cool stuff at the WAG.
Yeah, it's definitely something for our listeners to check out.
Yeah.
You want to find out more, you can go to wag.ca.
Say that one more time.
Get cultured. I think Vancouver or Toronto is just recently getting I can't remember how to pronounce his name, but the guy that did the old artwork for a lot of Kanye West's graduation and College Dropout, they're getting a bunch of his art up in Toronto, which is real cool.
That is awesome.
He's the one that designed the bear.
Never mind. The French Impressionist. We have to find the artwork from the Kanye West album.
Something a little more classic, like Kanye West.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, some historic art.
There's Monet, and then there's West.
They're both on the same scale.
They said, anyway, that exhibit is coming in June, but it was in the Free Press this morning. At least it was online, because one cannot read a newspaper and make coffee at the same time if it's not online.
Oh, nope. That is an impossible task.
People read that stuff.
We only have so many hands.
Who's next?
I'll go. Basically, a police found a dead body on a park bench in downtown Winnipeg. It was just near the Burton Cummings Theater.
Yeah.
It happened
That's
on
close to here.
Thursday.
This is very close, yeah.
So, yeah, they're not quite sure, and they wouldn't provide any information on the gender and the possible cause of death, but
so,
I'm assuming, this is a big assumption, obviously, potentially cold. Maybe not a big assumption because we're in Winnipeg, but I don't want to make an assumption.
Well, I mean, that's already been a big issue this year.
Yeah,
of Wendy Sinclair.
This story
back.
Is one of those ones where you think about how hard it is for people living on the streets, especially in such a cold and harsh city.
That's what Kirsten and I are writing our J feature on. We're gonna go in depth. We're gonna create a dialogue. We're gonna get the conversation going, because we live in Winnipeg, and I think it was only last week that the mayor made some. I mean, good. It's great progress, but 24-hour warming huts are, I think they're finally becoming a thing.
Oh,
that's so good.
And there's a couple of these warming vehicles
that
drive around as well.
There's a vehicle that goes around and helps people on the streets. That's a really cool thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, especially here in Winnipeg, I think one of the largest issues that we're facing today is our homeless population, which is massive.
There was just an article in the Winnipeg Sun that Tom Broadbeck wrote about this, and he had all the stats. Pardon me for not having it right in front of me, but
there was a census that was done 2 years ago, and there was a it was a huge number with on that day alone.
It's crazy.
There was over even I think I might be lowballing it, but I think it was over 500 easily that were homeless like crazy. That night.
I think the saddest thing is that's not entirely shocking. Like, you look around and there's people trying to stay warm all over the place.
Yeah.
And the heated bus stops are great and all, but they're still not warm enough for someone to sleep in. It
really makes you appreciate what you have. And, like, the four of us, there's four of us here. Yeah, the four of us can go leave school and, like, have somewhere warm to go.
Yeah, well, I find it, like, I complain when I have to wait for a bus and I'm just like, I don't even have a bad, like, imagine having
I'm not waiting that long. Here.
Yeah, I'm waiting 15 minutes for a bus and I catch myself complaining. But there's someone literally sleeping on that bench and, like, yeah, sometimes you forget how good you have it, but.
So it was just a dead body found, you know, dead body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's it. No other information.
No details.
They really haven't released anything. Obviously, this article is from February 8th, so there might be some new information that I'm not seeing. But I don't see any follow-up article here.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
I think regardless, thoughts go out to the family that is affected.
So tragic. So tragic.
The lead for this one is the notorious Winnipeg rooming house dubbed Murder Mansion may soon be on death row. So the owner of the 22-unit building located Balmoral in Cumberland, I don't think I've probably seen this, but I don't have an image of this building myself, but it's been infamous for a lot of drug dealing and like gang-related deaths or deaths in general within the past decade. I think they had the dates for the troubled past being like all within 2008, 2009, within like each within a month of each other. There was there'd be like first degree murder, second degree murder charge, all from like November 8th to January 18th.
Wow.
Which is like, whew. So, yeah, no, he purchased the rooming house in like 2011 during the middle of what he called a drug war.
Cool.
There were two shotgun blasts through the front door 3 days before I got the keys.
Oh, jeez.
He was in his early 20s when he bought this.
Why? Why did he buy it?
It's an investment.
He said he wanted to make the neighborhood a better place.
Oh, okay. Well, that's admirable.
That's sweet.
So now he wants to make it a better place by knocking the thing down?
Yeah. So now he wants to sell the land to owners who last year purchased a neighboring property with intentions to redevelop the area. His asking price was about $500,000 with demolition and around $400,000 as is. So no sale has been finalized, but interesting development for the most part.
When you said murder house, I assumed it was like a haunted house thing.
Yeah, well, that's how I initially read it too, but it was like, okay, no, this is pretty...
I thought it was a tourist attraction. That is not a tourist attraction.
Not meant to be a tourist attraction.
Wow. Well, yeah. Jeremy, do you have a piece ready?
So last week I talked about the Bear Clan and the Foot Patrol getting increased funding from the city. And the story that I've brought to the table today is a little bit of a follow-up. I found this is in Global News on their website. Winnipeg Police hope Foot Patrol will improve downtown safety. Essentially, the article goes on to say that they feel like there's been progress made with the communication between the police department and the foot patrol. And he said, like right here, he said, communication and relationships with residents are the key to cleaning up parts of Winnipeg that need it. And I think this is a good conversation that the four of us can have, you know, about like the progress that the city's making in cleaning up the area. I know we touched on it last week, but our last episode, but there's always room for more conversation about this topic because it's so important. So many people feel uncomfortable coming downtown for whatever reason that they have in their head, an image of downtown and whatever it may be. And, you know, even when you're coming downtown every day, there are certainly things you see and people you see that, you know, may look like some sketchy stuff is going on. And it just, I think for me, it's comforting to know that there are forces out there that are actively working to make this area as clean and livable
hospitable
as possible.
Or whatever,
hospitable. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. I don't know. What do you guys think?
What's really neat is that there's some of these organizations are not city, like they're not city government organizations. You have the Bear Clan. Also in like the North Point Douglas area, there's another organization called the Mama Bear Clan, which is not affiliated with the Bear Clan actually, but they're an offshoot of a community organization there in Point Douglas, and they did the same thing where they patrol the streets. They also just stop to talk to people. They deliver care packages, and they're just concerned citizens working to make the city a better place.
I really like that. I like that communities are kind of taking charge and taking an investment in the like safety and well-being of their communities. I think that's really admirable, and yeah, that's a really cool thing that they're doing.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that definitely highlights the notion that like we as Winnipeggers care. I think there are a lot of like outsiders or like a lot of people that have that outside look on what's going on in Winnipeg and probably have the view that we aren't doing anything or that we don't care. But
you know. There's a great quote in this Global article. I think it's a police officer who says, and I couldn't agree more, downtown Winnipeg has a lot going for it. If we carry on with some of the initiatives that have been started and see them through until the end, we can really make something here. And I think you're right. You're all right when you say, like, it's great that it's not just city and not just police, but it's, like, actual, like, grassroots, ground-up mm-hmm. initiatives, which is so, like, refreshing and nice to see. Mm-hmm. It's so great to see people, like, I guess caring about downtown because for so long I just feel like it was sort of left in the dust and forgotten about.
Yeah, not too long ago, I interviewed Bianca, who works at the North Point Douglas Women's Center as a safety coordinator there, and she said something what I found quite profound. And she said basically she wanted to look into the correlation between relationships and safety, and that was something that her organization was quite invested in doing. They were building relationships, and they were seeing those relationships result in a safer community.
That's great.
Yeah, and I think also, like, when you take pride in, like, you're part of the city or just in the city as a whole, you want to keep it clean. You want to keep it nice because you live there and mm-hmm. you want to take care of things. I like that.
Mm-hmm. No, we should be taking care of it. And we should, you know, be able to actually call ourselves friendly Manitobans.
Yeah, like, and, like, I think sometimes people like to crap on Winnipeg. Especially those of us who live here.
Stop.
But there are good things about this city. And, you know, if you don't take pride in your city, then obviously you have nothing to be proud of.
And the downtown of, like, any city is so important. I don't, like, you know, people like to ignore it here for whatever reason. But think about every other major city in North America. Like, the downtown is the heart. And like it's vital to a healthy city. It's the business center. It's the cultural center, you know?
Definitely. Mm-hmm. All right. So I think we've got some cool event recommendations or things going on in the city.
Or like, you know, business recommendations. You know, any yes. sort of like thing
restaurants,
that you
events.
Want to check out that we're recommending.
So mm-hmm. we'll get Gerilyn to kick it off as
sure,
usual.
Sure, yeah. So what I'm going to recommend is our very own Juno-nominated Winnipeg Symphony Orchestra. They have this program for people who are 15 to 30 years old called a sound check program. So normally you might think of the symphony as a rather expensive place to go, but they have made it so if you join their sound check program, you can get a ticket for $15. Basically, they'll seat you anywhere that they have space, so you could have really good seats actually for $15. And if you want to bring a guest, then their ticket is $30. So basically $25 each, which is a pretty cheap date. And yeah, so what's coming up soon, at the beginning of March, is one of the things coming up is the Bruckner Symphony No. 9, which I listened to and is just this vast, sort of towering, lush, romantic piece of music. So I'm thinking I might check that out. So if you are interested in that, if you're a symphony lover, you can sign up online at wso.ca. It's the sound check program.
That sounds really cool.
That's awesome that they're doing that.
And if you're actually, if you're not a symphony lover, they often have these really cool programs. Like in November, they had one where they played Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. And then they did live the live soundtrack. like they performed the soundtrack live. A few years back, I went to Pirates of the Caribbean, where they played Pirates of the Caribbean and the Curse of the Black Pearl, and then played the soundtrack live, and they had live singers and stuff. Like, if you think of the, and we're like, what? There's people singing it. So it was really cool. It was really cool. There was actually people singing it. I'm like, oh, it must be a track. And then I realized there's all these guys in the back singing, you know. It was a good time.
I think, like, the past 2 or 3 years, they've skipped out on Winnipeg, but I think Video Games Live is making its return to Winnipeg with that similar setup format with, like, just, like, big, big symphony doing, like, all the hits, all the bangers, all the lovely songs that we all know and love.
The only downside about symphonies, I enjoy them, but, like, at other shows, you can dance or whatever, and at symphonies, you kind of have to behave yourself.
Yeah, you can only do, like,
do you have to dress up to go to the symphony? I feel like
I feel like
I'm not classy enough. Yeah.
You don't have to, like, really dress up, but just, like...
no one's forcing you.
Like, you're going to a nice dinner kind of thing, I suppose.
Yeah, it's sort of one of those things, like, it's, you know, it's a part of the experience.
Minor step up.
It's part of the experience, to me, at least. Like, no one's forcing you.
No.
I feel like I'd either underdress or, like, show up in my prom dress or something. Like, I don't know the in-between stage. When people are like, business casual, I'm like, what does that mean?
Prom dress. Tell me.
But you can show up in your prom dress if you'd like.
I'm going to. I'm stealing the show. It's what I do.
Yeah. The last show I went to was, I can't even remember what they're called, but it was an ABBA tribute band with the symphony. And I don't necessarily like ABBA. I like them better now. But
did you say you don't necessarily like ABBA?
Well, I mean, I could kind of...
Get out.
I don't know. Just like... But someone was like, someone backed out and I have this ticket. Can you come with me to see ABBA? I'm like, ABBA? But if you enjoy people watching old people dancing, then it's a good place to go.
It's my favorite thing to do on the weekends.
And I do enjoy watching old people dance.
Yeah. So we got about 10 minutes left in the show here, so who wants to go next?
I will. This feels like an easy recommend, but also, like, I haven't done it since Fetus, so I'll recommend it for myself and everyone listening, but Festival is coming up as of this weekend.
Since Fetus.
Like, I literally haven't went since, like, we were forced to for school.
Remember that?
Like, it feels like a missed opportunity on my part. And
right?
I'm, like, whipping myself.
I have never been. I really hope to go.
When they forced us to go in elementary, like, for the day. Like, it was a field trip. It was so much fun. We went sledding.
Yeah, sledding was a good time.
Good time.
You'd always get, like, the...
Frozen maple syrup
maple syrup, yeah.
No, cool. But that's a good rec.
Mm-hmm.
Notice how I abbreviated the word recommendation to rec, because I'm cool.
Get the rec.
Gotta keep it hip.
Is that what we're going to call it? We should call that.
The wreck.
Get the wreck.
Get the wreck.
I'm a wreck. Anyways.
Aislinn.
Aren't we all? All
right. Well, I have two things. So first off is comedy at Wee Johnny's. I went this last Friday to a roast battle, and it was hilarious.
What?
And I love roast battles.
Oh my
God. It was
God.
Amazing. It was a beautiful, beautiful experience.
Did you see Harris there?
Didn't. I thought he was going, but he wasn't.
I was getting off work, and I saw him and his girlfriend head out.
Yeah, no, I didn't see them there, but it was really funny. They do it every Friday, not roast battles, but comedy shows of like some sort. And yeah, it's just here in the downtown. It's right near 4th. And yeah, every Friday they do something comedy related,
once
and
again,
it was really funny.
4th getting a shout out in our podcast.
You can't have a downtown podcast.
Taking
bets
on
decided that
podcasts.
We're not cool enough for them.
We're actually changing our name to the 4th podcast.
Yes.
Just kidding.
And then,
don't sue us for it.
My second recommendation is the downtown Winnipeg Farmers Market. They do one, I think, once a month or something like that.
Do they do it in the wintertime too?
Yeah, there's one on March 1st coming up. They take place at City Place, and it's just a chance to, you know, have fresh local fruits, vegetables, things like that. And yeah.
Is that, like, reminiscent of, like, the book sale thing that they do at St. Vitale?
I have
like,
no
is
idea.
It that massive?
I've never actually been. I like farmers markets.
Right.
We used to have one in my little town, and it was fun to go to, so I want to check out a farmers market in the city, see what that's like. Mm-hmm. So I recommend it.
Maybe they'd have some good coffee or something. The last farmers market I went to was in Regina, and they had, like, a local coffee roaster there. It was good.
So my recommendation, that actually sounds really good.
Yeah.
But my recommendation is you guys like Monty Python?
Of course.
In small doses.
Yeah.
In small doses.
I dig.
elaborate, Fawlty Jared. Towers.
Well, I mean, like,
Fawlty Towers isn't quite Monty Python, but that does relate to what I'm going to talk about. So,
oh yeah, no, it doesn't.
All I think of is the like one where the guy like gets his legs cut off and he's like, "I can still fight."
Yeah.
Wait, Fawlty Towers had John Cleese in it, right?
Yes.
Okay, so great. That's so relevant to what I'm going to write.
Okay, there. Sweet. Yeah.
But Jerilyn, what do you mean by small doses?
Well, I mean, like, I would see short snippets of Monty Python. I'm like, well, this is really funny. So I tried to watch the Holy Grail from start to finish, and I think I made it about 15 minutes. And I'm like, it's too much. It's too much.
I can see what you mean. I feel like their work sort of is better suited for, you're right, like almost like SNL style sketches. Rather than, I mean, Monty Python's a classic movie, but like maybe their humor does work better in like skits and sketches. Anyways, I don't know. I'm not an expert on Monty Python, but Fawlty Towers starring John Cleese. John Cleese will be in Winnipeg. Are your minds blown?
I think I've seen that poster, yeah. They have that on the electronic billboard.
He'll be at the concert hall, Centennial Concert Hall, downtown.
I love me some Cleese.
But, fair warning, he's doing two shows. The March 25th show sold out.
Oh.
But you're in luck, Monty Python fans. Monty Python fans, because his March 24th show, the first night he's here, Saturday, March 24th, it still says there are tickets available. So that might be something that, depending on how much work we have going on with school, that I would be interested in checking out.
That wouldn't be bad.
My first time ever going to the concert hall. This is going to be controversial. This was before.
Oh, so you have been there. This will not be your first time.
Oh, to the concert hall in general?
Yeah.
No. I mean, I've been there a few times. But this show is at the concert hall. I'm recommending the John Cleese show, which happens to be at the concert hall.
So wait, what was your first thing at the concert hall?
Okay, this is controversial. This was before was the worst. This was before we knew he was the worst, I'll say. Bill Cosby.
Oh, jeez.
And I hate the fact
you didn't know. It's okay. You didn't
thank
know.
Thank you for validating me, because I feel like
Hollywood
garbage.
Knew, but we didn't.
No, they knew. And when I think back to that, I'm like,
say anything.
I can't
them.
Believe I gave that man like my support. I mean, you're right. I didn't know. It's not. I mean, it's
I
not
that
fair
could
to.
Happen.
Well, if you think about over your life, you've probably supported many, many bad men, and you didn't know.
And you didn't know. It's true.
Well, that's reassuring.
Shop local, guys. Shop local. They might be bad men, too.
I feel
too.
Like local dude selection isn't all that great either.
Selection of local dudes, I can attest to being extremely bad.
Anyway, John.
Shots fired. Wah, 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 wah.
Relatable.
Air horn.
Useless around here.
Seeing John Cleese would be much better than seeing Bill Cosby at the concert hall, so do that.
Until
you know
next
who
year.
Is also of the similar caliber of Bill Cosby? And I'm going to put him on blast. Chris D'Elia, how you doing?
Wait, what's wrong with him?
He's lame. He's trash.
Well, he hasn't done anything.
I don't think
he's
on the same scale.
No, he hasn't done anything.
Yeah. He's not reprimandable.
Yeah, no,
but he's not great.
He hasn't
I'll
done...
go that far.
I listen to his podcast, and he's like an avid supporter of the Me Too movement at Time's Up.
I listen to like
but
also...
so is James Franco.
I listen to a tiny snippet of his podcast. He's not that funny.
I don't think it's fair to go put Chris D'Elia on blast for like no reason whatsoever.
Lame and
I have a platform. I
want to
use
thing.
It. Now. You can't take that away from me, Jared.
I know. Getting a podcast is literally just a chance for me to complain about other things.
Just call out anyone for no reason
and to insult
anyone.
Hey,
Barack
you like.
Obama, you're trash.
You're my boy.
Just don't kidding. You insult my homeboy Barack.
It was a joke.
Okay,
my love for
it
him
was a
runs
joke.
Deep.
I think he's cool. It was
no, little... you said it already. You
your
hate
whole
him.
Your whole drone issue is lame. Sorry, Barack. But you're a pretty cool guy. You shouted out your wife, and it was really cute.
Yeah,
in
I mean,
last
like, regardless of
like,
politics,
yo, you took a job that you didn't ask for.
I want
thank
Michelle
you,
to
Michelle.
Be my mother.
Regardless of politics, we can all agree
though.
Barack Obama seems like a chill man. He seems like a cool guy.
So when it comes to drone strikes, that's all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
What a
so I think
beautiful first family.
They were beautiful. On that note, I think that'll
well,
do it for us.
Pretty
I don't
much
know
wraps
the kids,
up.
I don't know the kids' names, but that one.
Sasha and Malia, get on my level.
I want Malia as a best friend.
She seems cool.
Yeah. They both do. God,
we should leave
whole
them alone.
Family.
Though. Like,
yeah.
Did you?
What
one of
weed?
The daughters was caught smoking cigarettes, and like the media.
Gasp! The reefer.
Yeah. Well, I think it was cigarettes, and the media went crazy.
It was definitely reefer.
I think it was a cigarette.
But it's like
leave her alone. She didn't ask for this life.
Don't come at politicians' kids. Even the Trump kids.
Yeah, Jeremy.
Like the little ones, like the Euro people being like, oh, they're ugly, and like all these things about like the little kids. And I'm just like, yes.
I do wonder too, like for like the youngest, what's his name, Baron Trump, the youngest Baron
Trump. Oh yeah, Trump. Poor guy.
That was trash.
Does he go to school or does he have a tutor? Because I'm like,
no one really knows.
I wish people would leave politicians' kids alone.
Like, hopefully they leave him alone if he does go to school, but
I think Melania and Barron didn't move to Washington for the first few months of Trump's presidency because Barron had to finish school. Mm-hmm. And now I think he has a tutor. I could be totally wrong, but I think now he has a tutor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can't be an easy life for him.
Poor guy. People were totally, like, making fun of him online last year, Barron Trump. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so not fair.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Like, honestly, I think politicians are fair game, I'll be honest.
Oh, yeah. Easy.
You're in the public eye. Obviously, you're going to get what happens. But kids, like, they're innocent. Don't. They could still turn out great.
True.
Yeah, well.
All right, shall we wrap this?
I guess we'll wrap this up.
Bring this thing in for a landing?
Yeah, we'll land the plane on Not the Suburbs podcast.
Let's park this thing and not pay for the ticket.
And not.
Thank you so much for listening. We're on iTunes.
We got that set up.
That happened.
Thank you. iTunes official. Yes.
Thank you, Dan, for walking. That was a nightmare
and
for
thank
him.
Thank you, Aislinn, for the really cool logo.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Aislinn, for the really cool logo. And thanks, Aislinn, for editing our last episode.
That was really nice of you. Great job. Thank you.
All right. Until next time, guys, this has been Not the Suburbs Podcast.
Keep it downtown.
Bye-bye. Keep it downtown.
Should I just slurp into the mic now?
Yes.
That sounded delicious.
That's been the tea. Have a good day.
That's been the tea.